and then we'll skip down to 14. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Isn't this incredible? Is it possible for things to slip?
Yes.
Is it possible for a good person to just forget?
Yes.
Is it possible for any of us to just kind of let things go and then we almost become another person?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
And it's not the person that God wants you to be.
No.
He wants you to be a person that He's flowing through daily. And verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same. Thank you, Lord. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. All our lifetime we're subject to discouragement.
My goodness.
All of us.
Right.
Yes.
I'm speaking to all of us today.
Amen.
Throughout our whole lifetime, we're subject to this. Mm-hmm. Verse 16, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. My, what a song we sang today about Abraham taking Isaac, and he, when he took Isaac up to that worship place, he really wanted Abraham.
Yes.
He wanted you.
Yes. Amen.
Verse 17, we just have two more verses. Wherefore in all things, let's say all things, it behooveth him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. Why don't you just let God be God today and you be his son and you be his daughter? Just, can we all do that today? Just let God be God. He saves, he heals, he delivers, he fills with the Holy Ghost. Just let God be God today. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in him, for in, this is verse 12, in that he himself hath suffered being tempted.
Yes.
He is able to succor or succor them that are tempted.
Yes, Lord.
And that's our word today. And it's not a word that you might use every day of the week, but because he made himself human and was born as he was and suffered being tempted, then he's able to succor them that are tempted. He's able to help you in your time of distress or difficulty because he came from being God down on earth and he said, I want to be like them. I want to feel like them. I want to go through what they went through. Times of discouragement so that I can come to them and encourage them.
Amen.
Like he's going to do in the next few minutes. Maybe 45 minutes as I see the time going. God bless you. You can have your seats. So he made himself like you and me so that he, being tempted, he is able to succor. And when I was in Europe, I don't know if that's a French word or a foreign word, but in our English language, succor means someone who helps in times of need or distress or difficulty. Someone that's able to come to you and give you assistance and give you support in a time of hardship and distress in your life. It's a person that is called alongside to give assistance and aid to you. In fact, in the Bible, it literally means to run to. This is the Lord Jesus running to you and I in Laodicea. It describes Christ's care for you and his attention to you in your time of need. He made you human. He's God, but he made you and I human to bear things and go through this life. But when he is securing us because he was also tempted, it's God's way to describe his urgent care and effort for us. And I'm going to show you something in a few minutes. I think Sister Sally Powell has it on her fireplace mantle of him running, the Lord Jesus running to the little sheep. And I'm going to show you that in a minute, because while I was away, that was the visual part of what was in my heart. This word secure, to rise from discouragement means that in your time of trouble and affliction, that someone is going to come running to you with aid, and he comes to us, he comes running to us, and he continues to run for our help. Just for a moment, I'll show you a photo picture of the world map here and where we are in America, then Africa and Russia and things. But right in the center is where we've been last year 3 times. This year, this is our 3rd time. We've been into Germany and Poland and Netherlands, Belgium. It's right in that center part there. And where we were on this trip was there in Germany, up in the north part, in the Netherlands was where the camp was, people coming from Belgium. I just thought it'd be really good for you to know that some of the people we prayed for last time, which is 3 months ago exactly, we were there. We're back in the service, the one where the sister was in distress and mentally tormented and just up and down and not in baseline. She came to the Wednesday night service with her husband. Before then, she had just been going to bed every night like 6 o'clock and just been under the torments of Satan's darkness. But she came to the meeting. They start at 8 o'clock on the Wednesday. So you can imagine being up till 8, 9, 10, 11. And her eyes were clear. Her face was bright. God had restored back a lovely mother, grandmother. I just want to say praise be to God today for his mighty goodness to people of us that go through our times of distress and go through our times of difficulty. In my heart, it was for you and also burden for needs in our own church. I want to thank those that were laboring behind the scenes and painted the church. Brother Jake Hofer, our trustee, Brother Bill Lamb and others, Brother Andy Weathers, and that took the leadership, Brother Steve Clar. And actually, this is an outdated photo because some have been working on the doors and on the trim. And I just want to say thank you, Lord, for raising up a little lighthouse here in Whatcom County. Yesterday, there was a visiting pastor from out of town, a minister, and he visited our area and took photos of our church, and I shared one of them with you. And I just want you to know you're a good testimony, and you're well known in other places, and I want to encourage you today. But back in August, the Lord began to just move on my heart to speak on discouragement. I just want to deal with it for just a little bit today and talk to you about overcoming discouragement. What came into my mind was what's happening in Israel. And we see on October 7th last year, when the enemy came in and destroyed and raped and killed and murdered. It was a horrible day, but they took hostages from the Israelites and took them back and brought them into tunnels and brought them into dark places. And it's been a real horrible year of fighting and killing. Even thousands and thousands have died. And it's almost becomes global, where it just incites people, you know, politically and all kinds of things. A lot of them don't even know what they're talking about. But if that would happen to you or to your loved ones or to your family, certainly that should cause your heart to get anointed to go after the hostages. Let's go after the hostages. Let's go after them that we've lost. Let's go after our young people. Come on, End Time Message Tabernacle. Hey, let's go after our aunties and our uncles. Let's go after our mothers and our husbands or our wives or our grandparents or our children that are in a time of distress and trouble. And the Lord knew that it was going to be a time of darkness. He knew that globally we'd be facing mental depression and mental anxieties like never known before. When Brother John travels through the airports now and through Europe and through different places that we go, I'm reminded, and you can just see, and even on the airplanes as they have, you know, computer screens at every, or TV monitors at everyone's chairs, and the things that they're watching and the things that they're viewing, it's no wonder they're going crazy. Because what's plugged in is what's going to come out. And all the killing and all the raping and all the murders and all the drama is just the devil's way of setting up people's minds for a tribulation. He's getting them you can just see with cell phones and devices and even the education, how it is steering people's minds. And it's not for light and for Christ, but it's very dark. It's very evil.
Yes.
But in that season of darkness and evil, God has turned on a light. And there's no one here or under the sound of my voice that would say that there's any power that's greater than God's power. God's power is greater than anything Satan would devise or plan. Or we are living on the planet Earth that's out in the middle of a galaxy rolling and going, and the tides come in and the tides go out. But the same person that knows where to stop the tide and when to let it go so far is in control of your life,
Amen.
Is in control of the situation. And Satan can only go so far. Darkness can only go so far. And when it's the darkest, that is when just a little light goes the farthest. And you might be down in a well. You might be down in discouragement. You might have lost your courage. You might be discouraged. And I want to say that this is this church, and the mission of this church is to encourage you. The whole ministry, and that's why the Lord's raised up the ministry that's in this local church, is to edify you.
Amen.
That is our mission. That is the goal. That should be the anointing of every song, everything we do, through the week even. I'm not majoring on our services. I'm majoring on our life. It ought to be to edify others.
Amen.
Eternal life is living for others. And when you serve others, you're looking eternity in the face.
Amen.
In fact, you remember Job's friends. When Job began to pray for his friends, that's when he got delivered. So let's not turn this around and become the victim every day. Let's say, Lord, I will look into the hills from which cometh my help. We're not babies and we're not hot house plants anymore. You're sons and daughters of God. I'm here today to give you strength to rise above discouragement.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're here today, just in conclusion on that. This church is here to strengthen your spiritual life.
Right.
We're here to feed the sheep.
Amen.
And every service and every time we gather, every prayer service, everything on our activities for the young people, whether it might seem like a natural thing, renting a gym or having them over, getting someone coffee or having a meeting, having a Bible study, it all ought to be to encourage one another,
yes,
to strengthen one another.
Amen.
I'm asking you today, and I'm going to close with this, but what ship are you on today? We're in fellowship. We're in relationship. But if you start becoming a battleship and you're always fighting and killing and guns going off and you're always in war, that doesn't work. Doesn't work in your personal relationships. It don't work in your home life. It does not work in a church environment. We need to encourage one another. We need to strengthen one another. In our opening scripture, we see by the book of Hebrews, and maybe Sister Amanda, you could bring up Hebrews 3, verse 13. I was reading this for my morning devotion this morning. Some of you may wonder why we encourage, why we give positive words, why we give positive things. This is the scripture. We are commanded by the word to exhort one another daily. So Sunday morning isn't our only time of expression. Wednesday night or Sunday, you know, another time or your platform or your life, whatever you do in your spiritual life to serve others, it ought to be daily. Everything about what we do, our status update or your texts or your conversation, it ought to be to exhort one another daily. While it is called today, do all you can today. One of our teachers already noticed that. It's today, right? Today? Amen. You wonder, Sister Renee. Amen. When we get up in heaven, we'll talk to him about that. But while it's called today, was it your uncle, Brother Karim, that passed away? He's gone. There is no more talking to a loved one. Giving expression. Some of you might know what Brother Branham said about if he had millions of dollars. And then in one place he said billions, in another place $10 million. He said, if I had that, or if I had a little button to push and I could talk to my father and take my father out for one more meal. In another place he said, my mother, because she had just passed away. He said, if I had $10 million. In another place he said, $1 billion. If I had all of that, and I said, but I had a button, and I could have one more hour with them, I'd press the button. And it begins to, you begin to see the value of life, and to value your environment, and the atmosphere that's around you. And don't just flower them with roses and talk all nice when they leave. Right. Don't let Brother John's funeral service or memorial service, if ever it goes that way, to just be some long funeral service. Right. We give roses now. We give flowers now. We bless one another now. That was good playing this morning, Brother Mark. I heard that this morning. Did you all hear Brother Mark playing?
Yes, it was good.
Did you hear that, Thomas?
Yeah.
Did you hear Brother Mark playing? That was fantastic. You know, it just ripples out then throughout all the world.
Amen.
Thank you. Can we go back to Sister Amanda, to what a prophet said in the Ephesian church age about how that he praises and commends his children, and how that he takes account of their, he's talking about their fine spiritual attitudes and behavior. He knows that there is weaknesses among them.
Yes, amen.
Now, part of this quote is we could all learn a good lesson right here in running the church and our families. But I wonder about you and me, if we take it personal, wouldn't it be good if we started to talk to one another and the people around us, just a fine, you know, spiritual attitude today, and what you've done for the Lord, and how you're serving him in your behavior. Mm-hmm. Even though there might be weaknesses among us, and yet there's times that our Heavenly Father does not cry out against it.
Right.
Isn't that just like the Lord?
Yes.
I'm talking about his nature.
Yes.
He knows how to encourage us in the right matters.
Right.
And to discourage us in the wrong matters. So it's not always pointing at the negative. It's not always seeing all of the things that would maybe not be pleasing and focusing on that and focusing on that. But it's always trying to speak things that would encourage to, though you might see that and then you discourage a person in the wrong matters. But the main thing is to see them grow. It's the main thing is to see them come through this. And I wonder how you and I could do better in this area.
Yeah.
I wonder if we could die to ourselves more.
Yes.
What the Lord could maybe do more through our lives.
Amen.
How many of you have been reading Perfect Faith and enjoying this monthly message that we've been having, the Word? I was listening to messages before that, though. How Can I Overcome was in the morning. This is Sunday night. And in the morning, Brother Branham spoke, How Can I Overcome? Isn't that wonderful? Messages like that are in the message.
Wonderful.
Say, I want to overcome discouragement. I want to overcome where I'm at.
Amen.
But the morning message of perfect faith was, how can I overcome? And he said, the thing that you have to overcome is yourself. But you know, in many of our minds, it's our mother or our father. Or it's, you know, that angry boss or that teacher you can't please or that situation or financial trouble, the hole that you're in, and we're always looking at that. And we become discouraged. And how can I overcome or come above that is to overcome ourselves, is to look at ourselves and say that I'm nothing, I'm base. I need the Lord. Amen. And how many know that this is August the 28th or 25th? He spoke this. The very next Sunday, he spoke the token and desperation. So right in a sandwich kind of in between, how can I overcome is perfect faith. I listened to just a few minutes this morning. I was just smitten by this. When he was talking about prayer lines, he said, people say, oh, I got faith. Is it okay that I share?
Yes, wonderful.
Just give me about 2.5 minutes on this. I've got faith. And I, well, you know, he said, then what are you standing up here for then? Your actions prove that you haven't got what you're talking about. If you had faith, then what do you stand in the prayer line for? If you had perfect faith, you would look straight to God and believe it and walk away. Don't let this choke you, but the very next line says you would have no need of coming into a prayer line. He's talking about perfect faith. I was asking myself, Brother Steve, because the ministry of this church has to be able to answer this question. Are we leading the people into perfect faith? Or right. Have we led the people into perfect faith?
Yeah. Right. Yes. Good. Yeah,
because Brother Branham's talking about perfect faith and having prayer lines. And he said, you would have no need of coming. You would have no need of these things because your faith has done it, made it so. That's pretty incredible.
Yes.
Probably most of us would say, then we better never have a prayer line. How many know that he had a prayer line at the end of this message?
Yeah, praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
How many know in the paragraph right before he said, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you come not in this line unless you feel that you've got perfect faith.
Praise God.
Now, isn't that a paradox?
Yes.
He just got done saying if you had perfect faith, you wouldn't need to come up here. When you all figure this out, just let me know because I haven't figured it out. You wouldn't, if you had perfect faith, you wouldn't need to come up here. You just believe. Then at the end of the same service, he has a prayer line. And he says, I charge you in the name of Jesus Christ that you come not in this line unless you feel that you got perfect faith.
Right. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
So then what do? Just get perfect faith.
Amen.
And faith cometh by hearing. Amen. Hearing of the word of God. So it's a message like this morning that a pastor needs to deliver to the church. Because faith cometh by hearing. God's here to encourage us in the right matters and discourage us in the wrong matters. We could all learn a good lesson right here in running the church and our families. It's a good lesson. Then he says, don't ever be discouraged. I don't need to ask for a show of hands, but I think there's times in all of our lives we've been discouraged.
Yes, definitely.
And that's why I'm speaking on this in just a few minutes now, on rising from discouragement. I'm trying to go to the next slide, Sister Amanda. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it was the very verse that we read in that he himself hath suffered being tempted. Was it in the book, Prince of the House of David, that it speaks about he groaned with a headache? And Brother Branham referred to that, about he groaned with a headache. Here he is healing their sick and raising their dead. And you think Almighty God in the body of flesh, would he would always be on the top of the mountain. He would always be screaming hallelujah and all of that. But that's all fake and Hollywood stuff. Every son and daughter of God is going to go through your valley. where you're tempted.
Yes.
When we go through that, he is able to secure. There's that word again, and you probably won't use it all this afternoon or maybe this week, probably. Yes. You talk like this. So he's our succor. He succors us. But it means that it's someone that in our time that we have need of, he actually, in our time of distress, he runs to us. It is when he sees that we're having a difficult time and we're falling short in whatever area. I'm speaking spiritually, I'm speaking emotionally, I'm speaking financially or in your health. Brother John's going to talk about these things, that the Lord Jesus comes running to you. Even like a sheep that feels all alone. And if you just got all focused in on your issues and all of what you're going through, you would think you're all alone. But just step back a little bit and there's Jesus.
Amen.
Brother Steve, this image came running to my thoughts when speaking on discouragement. And when I see the word secure, it actually means that this is Christ's care in the Bible. It literally means he is running to you. Is this incredible? And I know all of you, we want to confess that we're so strong and we've got it all together and we want to hide our weaknesses and we get embarrassed when it comes into our family and maybe it's in a situation where you're not in control of that individual, so it's causing you to be embarrassed. Maybe after today you could just say, Lord, we need encouragement.
Yes, yes.
We need encouragement to go through this time.
Yes, praise.
While I was away, and I wrote it down, Brother Mark, in my notes, because I was coming up to speak this on Sunday morning. We spoke on the house that he would build on the Wednesday night in the dedication, what house we are building. And then on the Friday night, we spoke, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but I had it in my notes. To just give you those titles and things, but we also spoke on reconciliation and restoring.
Yes.
And I should be better in having my notes so that I could tell you what we spoke on, but I guess I just need to speak on discouragement. But I wrote what Brother Mark spoke going into the Linden booths on Christ meets us at our point of need.
Yes.
Who remembers that?
Yeah.
Christ coming to you at your time of need. So if you're always in control and got it all together, then you wouldn't need the Lord.
Right.
You know, I think there's a hospital a few blocks from here called Peace Health, St. Joseph, right? If there was no one sick and no one had need of a doctor in Whatcom County, they'd close it down.
Right.
But it's when you're in time of need, when you need a doctor, when you need medicine, when you are in trouble. So it's Christ meeting you at your point of need.
Praise God.
Discouragement comes.
Yes.
To overcome discouragement means that you have lost courage. It's a loss. Something has gone out of your vessel in a time of disappointment, in a low time. Because we have mountains and we have valleys. I'm watching my notes. It's not because I don't know what I want to say. It's because I know of our time frame. I know of your attention span. And I know what the Lord laid on my heart.
Amen.
When courage is lost and it's gone out from you, overcoming is when he puts strength back into the person. He gives you the ability to face life again.
Thank you, Lord.
And to come back. See, you're not defeated. You're not unhealthy. You're not going to make your bed in hell. That's not your future home. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. God's revealing his word to you in your lifetime so that you can be saved. So that you can identify as being a son and daughter of God. No matter what is going on around you, you are not defeated. You are not going down. Come on, friends, I'm here to encourage you, to put courage back into your box. David put 5 stones in his little pouch, but he only needed one. But it wasn't the stone that killed Goliath. It was Goliath's own sword. Because that little boy, David, got Goliath's sword. And whether the stone knocked him out or hit him in that spot, and he was covered from head to toe and all this armor and things, and it just hit him right in the spot.
Praise God.
You talk about predestination.
Yeah.
You talk about going after our hostages that's in the tunnels of despair and tunnels of disillusionment and tunnels of I'm defeated and all kinds of expressions. You talk about something coming and hitting Goliath. And then that little boy got up, that he was a young man, and got up that sword and he took off Goliath's head and held it up as a trophy. It wasn't all about David. It was all about the Lord and how great our God is. Can somebody say praise the Lord today? Let there be a shout of victory in the church. I am rising. I am coming up. I'm leaving where I am. I am being encouraged to bring you through a difficult time and give you the ability to persevere hardships. Coming up is a resurrection back to your ought to be condition. We knew before going on this trip, and I'm not speaking about that. I was speaking about several missions we had to accomplish, and by His grace, all of them were accomplished.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
One pastor drove over 3 hours just to see us for a few minutes and then drove all the way back on the same night. It's a real wonderful brother. But in another situation, the Lord allowed us to meet with a couple other pastors and ministers. And in a lunch we were having that was not planned, it just happened suddenly. And I was sitting in front of a man and the Lord laid it on my heart that this is one of the reasons that you're here. And so the next morning I texted him. I was just going to breakfast in a few minutes and I invited him and he came and I spent 2 hours with him.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And he has a family and he has children and he's a long history here. But one of the phrases from his little 10-year-old girl was, I want my old daddy back. I want my old daddy back, see, because he's gone through things in the ministry and in his family. And in the church, I would say he's probably on a negative. You know, we come through these times and then we go through times when we're high, maybe overly. That's not normal. Then we come down through baseline and then we get low and we're depressed and we can't hardly see anything. We're in a fog and then the Lord brings us back up.
Yeah. Praise God.
And so he said his 10-year-old girl said, I just want my old daddy back. And I just said, why don't you give her old daddy back? We're here to encourage one another. We're here to be a vessel to speak to one another that would give a light turned on in a dark room. Somebody to have enough courage. Somebody to have enough whatever it's going to take to come into my tunnel. Maybe it's been 200 days, 250 days, some of these hostages. I think most of them are dead, to be very honest with you, but some of them have been kept alive. Some of them were murdered in the last few days, just within minutes of being saved.
Wicked.
And the wicked enemy knew that they didn't want them to be saved alive, so they shot them in the head.
Oh, how awful.
6 human beings that did not deserve to die that way. I tell you, that's exactly what Satan wants to do,
yes,
is to destroy your life,
for sure,
and to rape you and to,
yeah,
destroy your family and rip you apart. And I am here to give you encouragement today that it's time for another resurrection.
Yes.
Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's will to give you the kingdom. And I've got to speak clearly because my time is short. That's Luke chapter 12. That ought to be an encouragement from the Lord Jesus. Fear not, little flock.
Yes.
But we can also take that negative and get a complex because it's a little flock. It's a little church. There's not very many in my family that's serving the Lord, or at my job, Brother John, everybody's atheist, or everybody's, you know, running after women, or everybody's running after sports or the almighty dollar or whatever. But and you can start getting on the side of, oh, fear not, little flock. Yes, Lord, so few. And you don't forget that it's the Father's will to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
Can I go a little further?
Yes.
So young people get discouraged.
Yes.
Middle-aged Christians get discouraged.
Yes.
Older ones, and we have some elders in our church, and mothers and fathers even. Brother Mark Aho's father is in a desperate spot. Sister Renee's family, my family, Brother Steve's family. As time goes on, it's the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, Brother Mike, as we see. People get discouraged. Even little babies get discouraged. How many know what babies do when they get discouraged? When their diaper's wet, or they need food, or they just, what do? They cry out. They scream because they are discouraged. But as all of us get older, we tend to hold things on the inside. We tend to bottle things up internally. We try to put things all together in little boxes. If you're a man, you like boxes. If you're a woman, it's emotions. It's how do you feel? How did you feel about the situation? Did they say it nicely? You know, you got fired. You lost your job. But did they say it nicely? Did they? Friend, and it's all that. And he's like, man, I got to go get another job. And she's like, well, they're so, you know, nasty and mean. Maybe it's the Lord opening up another door for a better place. But as we get older, we start to internalize things. And you was not made to bear those burdens alone.
Yes.
I'm speaking to every person here today. And if I had a mirror in front of me, I'd have to say the same thing, that we cannot bear all the burdens alone.
Yes, that's true.
There's a leak in our church. I mean, the deacons and caretakers are turning off the water in between services. There's a huge leak. It's hundreds of dollars going nowhere. But I was very happy to tell someone last night, I don't really know what's going on. I mean, the owner came and this, and Brother Jake's been working, Brother Steve's been working, and there's other brothers that can bear that burden.
Yes.
It's more important that when I stand here that I'm ministering the word to feed the people. That Brother Steve and other ministers, another one will minister tonight, that we're catching the mind of the Lord.
Amen.
And not just telling stories and preaching, you know, old sermons, but we're catching the mind of the Lord for that service. And so I have to say, then there must have been a wind of discouragement coming through, and the Lord wanted to stop that wind and give courage to someone.
Hallelujah.
God did not make you and I, can we move on?
Yes.
To hold things inside.
Yeah.
He said in 1 Peter, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you.
Yes.
Not some of the things.
Yeah.
Not the things you can handle, but all things.
Yeah.
You know, David in 1 Samuel 30, there came a thing in Ziklag when the enemy came in and took the wives and the children and the young people and all the brothers in the church was, and all the people wanted to stone David. Because the soul of all the people was grieved. Every man for his sons and for his daughters. You know, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. But we can bear the burdens of our children, of our family, so much that we lose focus on the main thing. Our health can be in such a place, and we can be going through such a deep trial of sickness and pain and suffering and not even being able to get sleep over the matter, that we get discouraged.
Right.
And I'm here to give you courage today.
Amen.
I'm here that you rise up out of that. And whatever you're writing in your journal or whatever you're ticking the box on, that it be something positive, that it's the Lord giving you good things.
Yeah.
I understand that love is floating through the air here at End Time Message Tabernacle. I heard there's someone moving here this week from another state that's interested in someone here. I heard that there's another person coming from Edmonton to steal away somebody, and that's happening Wednesday. Others are in relationships that I can't mention because it's private. There's others. Brother TJ's away and in Ohio lassoing and getting Gabby to come back here in a few days. Love is in the air, you know. How many know it's contagious, like chicken pox and like these other things? Hallelujah, that's a good thing.
It is.
A few weddings in this church would be just fine with me. I might have to do one this week quickly. So, hallelujah, the Lord's will be done. Let's get back to 1 Peter. I want to read this and then I'll go to Samuel. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. So David, in this time of trouble, because everyone wanted to stone him, because the enemy had come in and took their wives, their sons, and their daughters. But what does the Bible say? David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There's times when the preacher can encourage you. When your mother can encourage you. When your father can encourage you. When the songs discourage you. There has to be a time when the Lord encourages you. I will lift her up. I will lift him up. I will come to their aid. When you're thinking negative, when you're thinking dark, when you're thinking I got to put in a prayer request, the Lord says I'm going to give you a testimony report. Isn't it amazing how God is so much greater, higher, better, bigger? Hallelujah. We need to say that to the devil today. Our God's greater than you. David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Surely, friends, we can encourage one another this morning in the house of God. Sometimes we sit there and we're so dry and miserable. We're so out of the spirit and in our flesh. We need God's mercy.
We
need God's grace. I was thinking coming here today about our children and families and teachers. We need the blood of Jesus. How many would acknowledge that? We need the blood of Jesus. I got about half our church. We need the blood of Jesus. Never take that out of our songs, please. Out of our preaching. We need the blood that'll drip down into delicate areas of our lives. And if you've got to say it, you got to say it, preacher. If you got to speak it and you're just cringing and your toes are going like this in your shoes, just say it, please. It might be your birthday. I don't know, Sister Victoria, but maybe the Lord's saying something that... Let me say something because I put it in my notes. Sometimes the Lord will talk to us. I found it.
Praise God.
About discouragement, and we need to be aware of this because it might be for yourself to just be more mindful.
Yes.
That you need to strengthen yourself.
Yes. Praise God.
But there's another part of that, and that is we need to be aware for others. Because you might be just fine. You might be on the mountain. You might have the Holy Ghost and be in victory. But number two is just as important. And that is we need to be aware of discouragement that is on others around us. We need to be more aware. We need to be more sensitive. I'm just going to say it. We need to stop being so selfish. Life gets complicated. We all get busy. Our lives become stressful. There's tension on all of us. There's nervous tension that is attached to discouragement, and you get in your minds. Brother Branham would even talk about services and that people sleeping in church. And talking about that it's okay. They found a place of rest. And they sit here comfortable and they're here. This might be for the few minutes that you had today that you're not on your cell phone.
Yeah. Right.
This might be just a few minutes that your mind had a few minutes to stop racing.
Yeah.
So it's automatic for you to feel restful and go to sleep a little bit. And I don't need a lot of amens to make me happy. But I do need to know that the Lord is penetrating into somebody's heart. R.I.P., rest in peace. Don't let that be on a tombstone when somebody dies. But I pray spiritually that we be given encouragement to our people.
Amen.
Take courage today. As we come to the close of the service, God is dealing with a spirit of belittlement in your mind, maybe. A belittlement. You're belittling yourself. And we get personal complexes because of our issues. Because of our family and our makeup. And maybe you think that you're all good and everything's revolving around you. I don't want to burst your bubble. But God will allow things to come through your family strains. And it leads to discouragement. Even in relationship issues can be in a person's life. Then that we bring into church and it becomes church squabbles. And all of that leads to discouragement. It leads to burdens that we're not made to bear. Our young people should never have to deal with church squabbles. Our children should never hear you talking negative about another brother or sister. About another message church or another pastor in the message and using a pulpit to try to, you know, knee himself up a little bit higher. When that's what we correct them for. That's what we tell them to go say they're sorry to someone else. And you tell us how you're sorry. And some of us adults need a good sharp rebuke sometimes. Our children and our young people don't need to hear a lot of negative things. They need to hear words of encouragement. Some of you are making career choices. And Brother John's very aware of this as we go week to week. I'm very aware that some, even in our church, are making decisions about where they're going to live.
Yep. Yep.
And if certain things go through, they might choose to move to another place or go to another area.
Right.
That's just fine with Brother John. I just want to make sure while you're here that you're hearing messages that are edifying and encouraging, and that while you're here and while the singing is good and the preaching is good, and that if we can help you make a positive decision and launch you into another message church.
Yes.
I say that with all of my heart. Amen. That's a success story. I'm very aware that there's school choices and things, and people are going through sometimes reversals. Whew, I could say a lot on this. Reversals and things that you were doing the best that you could at the time, and you were making decisions and choices.
Yes.
And maybe it went into reverse.
Okay.
And it went into the negative. You don't need someone to keep pushing you down.
Right.
And pointing a finger. Or tell you should have done so and so. We need a hand of encouragement. We need someone that can meet us at our point of need. And not feel like we always have to be up here somewhere before you're even talked to us. Or before you're even worthy. Or before you're even good enough, you know. I mean, where did we get that attitude? It wasn't from the Lord. There is no human being that can come into the presence of God and humble themselves and come out of that experience of prayer and condemn another person.
Right. That's good word.
I'm paraphrasing your prophet.
Mm-hmm.
So let us learn these things. Let us learn about discouragement. And when we're in a low time, I'll just say this for free. That's not a good time to make an important life decision. When you're discouraged, when it's dark, when your back is against the wall and you're in the corner, is not a good time to make a life decision. Let the Lord bring you out of that. Let Him bring you to where you're thinking straight, to where the fog is out of your mind, where you can talk to someone, and the multitude of counselors is great wisdom. Brother John's operating right now under a pastoral gift.
Praise God. Amen.
And that is that I don't have all of this in my notes, but the Lord knows you. And He'll say something to just, it'll just be exactly what you have need of. And it's like, whew, He's blowing into your situation. Thank you, Lord. You're going through a time when maybe not your children aren't serving the Lord. And that's very discouraging. It can be very discouraging to raise a son or raise a daughter or more than one and to have them choose to not serve the Lord. It can make you start questioning your own experience. It can make you wonder where you went wrong. It can make you start second, and I'm preaching out of a little fog right now of jet lag, but it can make you start second guessing your decisions now because of negative things. And I'm here today to encourage you.
Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. That's right.
Situations we do not understand. And maybe there was a lack of knowledge or a lack of wisdom in a certain area. It doesn't mean that's your life story. Rise up out of that, brother. Rise up out of that, sister. If we move you 10 feet in 1 year, that's a success. In all the mind games, and all the mind battles, and all the imaginations in your mind that's not even reality, you can actually start believing something that is totally false. Because you're in a mind battle. I think I wrote this down on the airplane. You can be in such an imagination in your mind that you actually start believing something that's totally opposite than the truth. And the Lord's trying to get your attention. He's trying to wake you up because you're going down a pathway that is not healthy. And the Lord is saying, it's time to rise out of that. Rise out of that discouragement. Rise out of that. And you can say, Brother John, it's black or it's white. It's black, and it's not. The Lord makes decisions, and He does things through your life. I was reading, did you all read that in the message, Perfect Faith? Where Brother Branham said on page 5, I get spells and I get moody.
Yes.
That was Satan talking to him.
Right.
Did you all read that?
Yeah.
If you'd listened to a few messages before this, he starts talking about feeling like in the time of blues. In another place, he's talking about, he said, I go through this too, a feeling like no one loves me and no one cares. That's your prophet. Hello? That was our prophet that felt like committing suicide at least 2 times. He pulled off his, he was an electrical man, and he was up on the big tower there, and he took off his leather, what's it called, Brother G? He took off his thing, and he was going to touch that wire, thousands of volts going over, and he said he knew it would all be over. Something drove him to be even thinking like that. There was another time when his mother... when his wife passed away and he was left with a son and warming his bottle, his son's bottle, under his arm to keep it warm. And his own son outside when he see a is this okay? I'm talking about discouragement and rising out of that. This little boy, he'd see a cloud go by. And he, when some of you would take a photo and say, wow, that's nice, he would say, is my mommy up there on that cloud?
Right, right.
Oh. Daddy, is my mommy up there on that cloud? And it drove your prophet to such a time of discouragement that he actually took a gun and would have pulled the trigger and did pull the trigger.
He did, he did.
And you would say, my, I think that's a real weakness to come to that point, Brother John. I think of someone that you knew admitted to being at that point. It's very serious. And it is. That Satan would drive you to that type of anxiety and depression for you to start thinking that it would be better that you're not alive or better that you leave this earth. That's a lie. But I'm here to encourage you that if Satan did that to a prophet, couldn't he do that to one of our mothers?
Oh, for sure.
One of our sisters, one of our brothers that is going through a time of trouble, and I'm here today that the Lord would speak a word.
Hallelujah.
That would get you to rise out of that discouragement.
Amen.
Maybe some of you don't know the story. Brother Branham pulled the trigger and it wouldn't go off. And then he threw the gun across the room and then he said, Lord, I hear you won't even let me take my life. And God in his tender mercy gave him an experience of beyond the curtain. And he was able to experience his wife and his daughter. And she was just a little baby that he had buried in the arms of his mother. The mother. And now she's an 18-year-old beautiful young lady standing by. The wagon, that the wheel is broken. And he said, that was my family. And the Lord gave him that experience. Where's Billy? She's just a little baby. How does she know Billy that was older? Where's Billy? And all these things, it goes to show there's a land beyond the river.
Hallelujah.
That is much greater. I have it in the next slide. I spoke on this Wednesday night in Germany. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Somebody say, praise the Lord. This is the word. You can hang your hat on this today. Hang your coat on this today. The former earth, the former trouble, the former activities that drove you to despair shall not be remembered nor come into your mind. All will be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. It's like God put a wall up there and he said, nothing can come up here that was negative down on earth. Any relationship, any person that missed the rapture, any person that is in my family that's not part of the rapture, where are they? Oh, I'm going to be thinking of them. Oh, they did such horrible things and they abused me, Brother John. And this, it's not even going to be remembered.
Hallelujah.
Or come into mind all the hateful words, all the texts, all the emails. All the movies you saw of horror and death. Believe me, I saw enough in the last 2 weeks just by people all around me on an airplane. It's gone crazy. It's no wonder they're going crazy. They're tapped into another dimension that has got them wired for a tribulation. I think it's time to hear that message. Come out of her, my people. Come out of this tunnel, my people. Come out of this being hostage, my people. Come out of this situation, my people. It's possible that someone with the Holy Ghost can have questions.
Yeah.
Sister Bruce is a good example. Wondering if she had the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
It's possible that someone can be saved and have questions if they're saved. And God's trying to deal with that. I'm going to put this right here over my notes so I don't continue. And I can maybe take another service. Is that okay with everyone? The shortest verse in the Bible. Can anybody repeat it?
Jesus wept.
Just say it. Everybody knows it.
Jesus wept.
He what? We thought all about Jesus would be, you know, MVP, most valuable player, on the mountaintop, casting out the devils. It's the go-to verse when you need I need a memory. Jesus wept. Okay, you know. It's the go-to verse. All you Sunday school teachers know what I'm talking about. It's the go-to verse. Jesus wept. Yes, you know a memory verse. Okay, but you didn't study your memory verse. No, I know. Okay, Jesus wept. But did we get it?
Yeah, that's it.
Hello, everyone. I'm smiling. But so will his bride. She'll weep too. You're going to go through things of, I know Sister Liliana got her license this last Tuesday. Congratulations.
Amen.
Congratulations. I guess that's congratulations. But there's a lot of crazy people out there.
That's true.
Is that right?
Yes.
There's a lot of crazy people out there. It's not so much you need to watch out for. It's the other crazy people. Amen. You say, I feel like I'm crazy sometimes. Well, probably every person in this room has felt like that. Because God made you inspirational. And he made you to tap into another dimension and lean on the Lord. He didn't make you to lean on your finances.
Amen.
He didn't make you to lean on your health. He didn't make you to lean on me, brother, when things are wrong. In all these songs we hear, lean on me, brother, dun, 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 and it's just a bunch of songs and rhythm. Dun, 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 and it's, where are they going? Where are they at when they die?
Right. That's it.
Where's their shoulder to lean on?
Yeah, that's it.
I don't mean to be funny.
No.
I'm being real.
Yeah.
There's some shoulders you don't want to lean on.
Yeah.
When things are wrong.
Right.
Now you need somebody, but sometimes the body that's providing their services or their companionship, you've just got yourself down in a low spot. And all the gossip and all the garbage you're talking about. Say, my girlfriend broke up with me. Maybe there's a real Holy Ghost-filled, born-again daughter of God that is just waiting for you to come to your place. And you've been willing to settle for something little. And singing all the somebody done somebody wrong songs because you're playing with the pigs. And you're singing in the wrong house. You might even be on the right instrument in the wrong house. Where did we get going down that road for? It's amazing. The type of things we can remember, songs and places we've been that are negative, but about the things of the Lord are good things.
Yes.
It's like the devil wants to throw up all kinds of scarecrows and call it bad.
Yeah.
Call the good things bad. Come on.
Yeah.
Call the good things bad. Call church bad. Call all those religious people and holy people, holy rollers, and you bunch of weird people. And we can get on that.
Yeah.
Fear not, little flock. And you can start getting a complex.
True.
Stop rolling the dice. Your Christian life isn't rolling dice.
Amen.
It's God's predestinated will.
That's it. Amen.
And so I've got to close. And last Sunday after I spoke this here, and I spoke about this here, I drove home. It was the Sunday before I left. And I was able to speak to that lady across the road. Did I tell you all that? I did. Okay. Then it's time to just leave with this. Because as it came into my mind, a battleship, fighting, shooting, guns going off, blaring, loud. And this is what it leads to. Battleship leads to alone ship.
Yes. Yes. So
you scared all the good people away from you. The people that could be your friends. The people that actually could help you. You got so low. And God wants to bring you in relationship.
Yes.
Fellowship.
Amen.
What kind of ship are you in today?
Yes.
Maybe you feel like you're in a battleship and you wonder why you're all alone. It's because of the lifestyle, and we can get into this place. And I'm not going to lead you on a sour note. Battleship leads to alone ship. Guns blaring, telling, giving peace of your mind, cutting people off, thinking what you've got to say is more important. It'll lead you to being all alone.
My Lord Jesus.
And maybe capsizing somewhere in a time of a great trouble when you needed somebody. You needed a fellowship. You needed relationship. But you were in a battleship. And no one wanted to be around you or near you. And it led to a lone ship. It's really quiet today, but I'm speaking about rising above discouragement. And I'm here to let you know that he is able to succor you or to run to your aid.
Amen.
This is actually what was on Brother John's heart. And visually, though you might feel like you're all alone, you're not alone.
Amen.
When you feel like no one loves you, that's a lie.
It is. Yeah.
I've got to say this before we close. You know, everyone's against me. No, they're not. Nobody loves me. That's a lie.
Amen. That's
right. See, I'm all alone in my... No, you're not. Nobody knows. Nobody's even ever been where I've been or have even thought the thoughts that I've been thinking, Brother John. It's so dark. And I wouldn't want you to know, Brother John, or nobody else. And you get into those dark places and Satan's dragging you in there. He's dragging you, right, Brother Karim? He'll drag you like this and keep dragging you and dragging you to destroy you and get you going down the wrong road, going in the wrong direction, 100 miles an hour to destroy you and break you. And God says, no, you're not going to go that way. I have other thoughts. I have other visions. And even when you went that way and got broken or went that way in your strong will, God says, but there's a better way. There's a higher way. There's a holy way. I'm going to bring you amongst people that have been there and they've done that. They've been broken. So when you talk about your dark places, they can look at you with tears rolling down their cheeks and say, I understand. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. God's brought you out of the world and brought you out of that.